All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, let's get David in here. And then we got to talk about this Cleveland Browns woman. David, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Wanted to give my two cents on that sports dynasty discussion we were having. And I know you guys don't speak a lot on NHL, but don't forget St. Louis Blues had the longest streak in major sports history of making the playoffs for 21 straight years. I consider that a dynasty. What about y'all?
Well, it depends on how much they – I mean, to me, dynasties have to be appearances in a Stanley Cup, either winning Stanley Cup or appearances there. I'd have to look that up, but I don't consider just making the playoffs. Like, that's like saying the Steelers are a dynasty because they, you know, Mike Tomlin never had a losing record. Because a lot of times that went with playoff appearances. I don't consider playoff appearances. I'm not saying the St. Louis Blues weren't. I need to look.
They've won one Stanley Cup in their history.
Yeah, I mean,
2019.
I just can't call that a dynasty.
I mean, making the playoffs for the NHL playoffs is 16 teams.
Whew.
So, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. So that's great. Yeah, it's a nice run. I wouldn't call that a dynasty. Dynasty is UCLA winning 11 out of 12 championships. That's a dynasty. You know, I hate them, but 3 out of 4 NFL titles for the Cowboys. That's a dynasty. The Packers of the 60s, that was a dynasty.
So when was the 21 straight years?
The 49ers of the 80s, that's a dynasty.
Well, they didn't even qualify for the playoffs in 2007, 2008. 21 Ooh. Straight years, is that going back? I guess you're going back into the – yeah, I guess you're, it's before then.
It's before then.
They never won one title. Yeah, lost in conference quarterfinals. I mean, no, I wouldn't put them in a
That's
dynasty.
Not, yeah, I wouldn't call that a dynasty. It's a nice playoff run.
Yeah.
It's a great playoff run. But
yeah.
So Catherine Hickman met the media. She's the Browns assistant GM, and she wore a sweatshirt that said, "Los Angeles made me do it," which is kind of dumb. We're Browns apparel, but she's going viral. They just traded their best player to Los Angeles, and, you know, wearing, I don't know, she's going, you're just trying too hard there with that. I don't know. But people are really hating on this.
Call it fashion.
You think I don't?
The distressed sweatshirt. It's I don't know who makes it though.
It's just a plain gray sweatshirt.
Yeah, but you know they got the holes cut in it to make it the faux ripped.
Yeah. She might have ripped it up. I don't know.
I think it came like that. If you look at where you can order it, it came like that.
Well. I don't know. First of all, what did she say? What did she say? And she had a rough time talking to everybody. I don't know. It's the Browns, and it ranks up there as one of the most embarrassing franchises in all of American sports, right?
Yeah. Because it's the way they failed. I mean, it's been spectacular. Their failures are spectacular in so many ways. My dad coached there for 4 years, and it's a passionate fan base, and it's frankly astonishing that they continue to come back for more beatings every year.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how the fan base in Houston would just stop showing up. You'd be getting 29,000. And they'd call it 64,000. You'd be getting 31,000 in the stadium max. And half those people, if you got to 40, it's because the opposing team showed up a lot. Houston fans would literally stop coming to games. Period. We saw it happen. The Browns, they keep going to games.
Yep.
They keep going to games. It's really
well, and that's part
it's
of the
credit
problem.
Credit to
though.
Them, I guess, but also it's embarrassing.
People will tell you that's part of the problem, though. is that, you know what, it doesn't matter how bad they are, they'll still show up. So right. we can be bad. It's okay to be bad.
Right.
You know, if the way that you pay back in an organization for being crappy is not show up.
Well, I mean, there is that.
Yep, but they're not going to do that. They're going to, you know what, they're just going to continue to. Who was that? Who was the guy, the Baltimore guy, the radio guy that set up let's not go to any Baltimore Orioles games?
Oh, Nestor Aparicio.
Yeah. And he got a lot of bunch of crap from the organization, but you know what? That's how you show. That's what you tell them. Mm-hmm. You're telling them we ain't coming. We're not showing up for this crap. Be better. And if you're not going to get better, you're going to just continue. You're going to lose money.
And radio station. So he could kind of do whatever he wanted to do in that regard. Yep.
7037803776. This story in Vanity Fair about Lane Kiffin? Holy crap. I mean, let's do it on the other side. It is the stuff that they're saying about Lane.
It is the things message board people have said about Lane
forever. But to be in Vanity Fair?
It is Lane Kiffin, you know, he's a vagabond. He's always looking for the next best job. And when people talk about
he's looking for the next best anything.
Okay, we'll get to it. But when people talk about why he has skeletons in his closet and certain universities wouldn't hire him, this is the Vanity Fair article laying some of that out.
Watch out, you LSU girls. Watch yourself.
Whoa, what was that? What now?
So
what's this article?
We'll do it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. All right, time to talk about the U of H game. It is Saturday. Okay, today's Thursday. Time to get your tickets. 713-GO-COUGS. We're going to give away tickets later, but don't count on those. Buy your own tickets. Let's fill up the stadium. It's going to be a big year. We're from Oregon State. Willie Fritz's third year with the Cougs. Cougs finished last year with 10 wins, beat LSU at the Texas Bowl. It's an 11 o'clock game. ESPN kicks off the football season with the Cougs. How about that? ESPN is kicking off their football season with the Houston Cougars. 11 a.m. TDECU Stadium. Let's go. Fill it up. 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets. You know what? Show this team that you're behind them. Show them that you believe after that 10-win season that they can do. This team can do something special. It's this Saturday, 11 a.m., H-down kickoff. Come early. Be loud, wear red, 713-GO-COUGS or uhcougars.com/tickets. This segment is brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. All right, let's go. Get on over there. The barbecue is awesome. Let's just get on over there. And the bar is so much fun. If you're sitting in traffic, what are you doing? Why are you sitting in traffic? That's embarrassing. Just go and stop at the 18th Street exit and get yourself couple of beers while all those people are out there in that traffic. Here's what Vanity Fair had to say. You got to keep Lane away from the girls that are in college, Saban said, according to one former coach. Just keep him away from the sorority girls. Make sure they've graduated college or are working a job. Layla and the kids never moved to Tuscaloosa, leaving Kiffin alone in Tuscaloosa at the bar scene. On at least one occasion, an Alabama staffer had to go to Innisfree Irish Pub to retrieve a golf cart Kiffin had left there the night before. Innisfree co-owner Derek Purdy would call me and say, "Your boy Lane's back in here asking where the hotties are," says Josh Booty. "Can you introduce me to hotties?" He would, as one friend of Kiffin's during that time put it, he was afraid Kiffin was going to drink himself to death. He was lonely. I've seen him on the floor crying like a GD baby. The friend described when Kiffin faced repercussions from mistakes that impacted his family. And then I see him doing ship that's like, you got to put your D back in your pants. His wife filed for divorce in 2016, citing irreconcilable differences. And his D wouldn't be state.
Well, that's irreconcilable.
That is irreconcilable.
She couldn't reconcile
that. He just looked like that kind of guy, and, you know, and it turns out he was that kind of guy, apparently.
Yeah.
You got to keep Saban. Keep him away from the sorority girls.
Man, it's that is a, I'm sure Lane didn't love that piece coming out.
Who was the Iowa State basketball coach that got
Larry
fired?
Eustace. Yeah. He got caught. Well, and that's before there were camera phones.
Yeah.
They just took pictures of him at Iowa State. I don't know how Lane Kiffin made it out of there alive.
Right, and he's got, and he just keeps getting jobs. I did see an interview with, you know, Kiffin and Saban. I was listening to a podcast of Kiffin and Saban going back and forth, you know, about Kiffin actually stood up to him.
Oh, were they there on the same podcast?
No, they were doing an interview. It was some interview. I don't know.
Okay.
And two different interviews where, Saban said, you know, Kiffin would say, you know, I don't agree, or he would shoot back at Saban, and Saban goes, this is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship, okay? Uh-huh. You just listen to what I tell you, and that's it, and that's all there is to it. And Kiffin said, you know, that's, I'm not like that with my guys. And as a matter of fact, Sam Levitt talked to the other day about how close-knit the coaching staff is. He was like, it's unbelievable how these guys all like each other, and they get along, and it's fun, as opposed to other places where the coaches aren't, it's not,
uh-huh,
you know, as fun for the coaching staff.
Right.
So that's the kind of atmosphere. Kiffin just likes fun, I guess. He just likes fun. And maybe liked it a little bit too much, and it cost him a marriage. But Vanity Fair, and Josh Booty being quoted in this thing, you don't see stuff like
this. You
don't
see that often.
No.
You don't see that often. Well, you know, it is. It's not like it's true. That's been out there, like this kind of stuff about, I mean, the divorce, this is not a secret. And we knew there was stuff about him and running around to college. And, you know, famously, he was with Sark. And as one of the play callers in USC, that must have been a wild time at USC. But that's when Sark was a little out of control by his own admission. But yeah, Lane Kiffin, none of that surprises you. I know that. Not one single bit surprises you, other than it made it into an article that they're writing right now. You know, feels like it's meant to kind of damage him a little bit right now.
Well,
just objectively
excerpts
speaking.
From a book. It is a book written on Kiffin, and these are just excerpts in Vanity Fair from that book.
I got you. Who wrote the book?
Is it John Talty? Is that what I saw?
Okay, I don't know him.
The Lane Kiffin book.
Yeah, John Talty is a riot.
Now, he's an interesting subject matter. You know, so Lane Kiffin was going to come. I have it on good authority. Lane Kiffin was coming to University of Houston, and Tillman Fertitta shut it down. He was going to be the pick to come here before Major Applewhite got it. Lane Kiffin was the guy. A friend of mine said he was talking to a coach. A friend of mine who's an agent was talking to a coach, and the coach told him, I'm in here with Lane. I just got out. Lane asked if I'm ready. He's going to get that job at Houston. He asked if I would come. And I said, yeah, I'll come to Houston with you. So Lane thought he was coming to U of H. It was supposed to be, but, you know, I think Tillman viewed it as, and look, Major was not successful here. I think Tillman probably viewed it as stepping stone job. He'll be here for 2 years and he's gone. And he would have been. He wouldn't have stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Kiffin, if he had success, would have done what every other coach does who has success. They leave. They leave. Art Briles, Kevin Sumlin, Tom Herman, all of them left when they had success. Lane Kiffin, who leaves in a bit. Lane might have been here 1 year, to be honest with you.
Fertitta would later hint at concerns when describing to a local radio station why Houston opted against hiring the Alabama offensive coordinator. Fertitta said, sure, he's been a head coach, and he's been an okay head coach, but I can tell you this, Kiffin was not a safe hire.
I wonder if that was us.
I don't remember. Maybe. I mean, we've had him on.
Uh-huh.
The Houston Mega Booster said, despite Kiffin being one of three finalists. He was never close to becoming the Cougars' next head coach. Those stories are all put out by his agents because that's the way they play the game.
Well, I'm telling you, this wasn't his agent. This is a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, who was talking to a coach who was in the room. And that's why this guy called me and said, hey, I just heard Lane Kiffin's going to be the next head coach. It was Lane's belief. I can just tell you this. It was at least Lane's belief he was the next head coach because he was getting his coaching staff together.
Well, he believes that Jimmy Sexton screwed him.
Who does?
He said, interesting, Kiffin believed he lost out on the job because of the same agent game. Jimmy screwed me. Kiffin
screwed him how, me. Though?
Hmm?
Because he was looking out for Major Applewhite? It couldn't have been that.
I don't know.
I wonder what he means by that.
Well, maybe he didn't sell him hard enough to. He didn't sell him hard enough to Tillman.
We always joke that that Tillman owns University of Football, University of Houston Football Athletics, but it's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
It's real.
When you put up
Cody
a building,
Campbell owns
when
Texas
your name
Tech.
Is on the building, right. It's not a joke.
Cody Campbell owns your program, Texas Tech. He is your private equity.
Yes.
You know, Texas and Texas A&M have a few owners, and it can get a little messy behind the scenes when they battle each other on stuff. Red McCombs famously was pissed that they hired Charlie Strong without running it by him.
Yep. Well,
good coordinator and
he
all.
He didn't think he had the capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe he was right.
Yeah. Well.
In hindsight.
Well, Charlie had proven to be a good head coach in other spots.
Yeah,
just not,
Louisville.
Just not at Texas, which didn't work was the Texas. Case for several coaches.
And didn't work at his, that's true, and didn't work at his job after
He's
that.
He's not our kind of coach.
Well, is that how he sounds?
That's how he said it.
I think if you put that much money in, you expect to have a say. That's what it boils down to. Red McCombs, like, I'm throwing in this much money, and you guys are doing stuff without talking to me? No, that's not going to work. Can you imagine that happening with Tillman? Hey, Tillman, we made some hires. Hope you like them. No.
Mm-mm.
That's not how it works.
That's not at all how it works.
When I got this much money going in, no. I'm sure Red McCombs thought the same thing. Wait. Y'all did what?
No one alerted.
You didn't run it by your boy Red?
No one alerted Red that this was going down.
Y'all didn't tell Red? I hope he used
Red
first person. Hold on a second. Y'all didn't tell Red what was going on? No, Red, we didn't.
Y'all didn't consult Red on this one?
Y'all didn't let Red know? So y'all just going to make moves without Red knowing.
I was under the impression, considering my names all across that university, Red would get a call.
Well, we had to call the Jamails first. We had to call the other names. Well,
yeah, that is
the
an
other
issue.
Names.
That was an issue.
I know the other names said it was fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Red and Joe weren't on the weren't thinking the same on the Charlie Strong hire.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not. But all's fine in Texas now.
Yeah,
Sark is
we're winning
there.
A national championship. I told my wife
you got them winning a national title.
I'm going to the Ohio State game,
despite their questionable offensive line.
We're good. I'm gonna go see. You're gonna have. Three players. I got to check up on what's up with Gooseby, but you're going to have at least playing in that game at least three players who are going to be taken more than likely in the top five picks, maybe top six, depending on how many quarterbacks go. Colin Simmons, Arch Manning, and obviously Jeremiah Smith.
Ooh, their center is a transfer from Western Kentucky, Akron, and Miami.
Who?
Texas starting
center is a
guard. Starting guard
is a Ronan.
It's a Ronan who Miami. He wasn't good enough to play for Cristobal.
That's not great.
And then the transfer from Akron and Western Kentucky. He's their starting guard. That's not the type of pedigree I thought Texas would have on their own line. A guy who played at Akron and Western Kentucky.
So Trevor Gooseby, who recovered from bone bruise, could be. So that could be four players in the top 10 taken. In one game, so I'm getting I'm headed up there and gonna take a peek at those guys, get on the field and take a look at them. Provided they get me my credential in time.
Oh,
ooh,
they could lose to Texas State this week if you're the mush that your wife.
I'm not going to that. I'm going to Ohio State.
Well, then they're definitely losing to Ohio State.
Oh my God,
she probably
if they
won't
lose
let
me go. And you're on the field.
I'm not gonna be. I'm on the field before the game.
Huh. That's close
Even
enough.
Still
in the game,
you're
I either
in
go
the
sit
stadium.
I'll go sit in the seats with her.
There will never be nachos for you again.
I'll go sit in the seats with her after I get up from the stadium, or if she starts getting mad at me, if it starts going bad, I'll just take that press pass, go up in the press box.
Hmm.
Stay away from her.
Yeah, you don't want to, I don't think you want to be sitting next to her.
I can always escape if I need to.
Yeah.
I can't really blame them. It is the number one team in the country coming to town. But it would be funny if we can dump it all on him. You know,
of course you think it's funny.
Jeremiah Smith, the generational wide receiver prospect. Actually, Texas does a pretty good job covering him. Oh,
Their
first two games.
Texas has a good one on there on this side of the ball too.
But he ain't Mr. Smith.
Not the same, but they could be. But you know,
is Ryan Wingo going to catch stuff besides bubble screens?
I would think, but we'll see.
Is he going to actually catch balls down the field?
Make throws that aren't bubble screens? They're going to let him try.
He
completed 20% of his deep balls over the last seven games of the year.
20%.
Awful. Awful. I went and ran the numbers on it because I'm a numbers guy.
And you still talking about top five pick, huh?
Well, not for my team.
Someone else's team.
Yeah, y'all can have him.
Okay.
I mean, unless he's a whole lot better this year. If he's a whole lot better, that's fine. But I've been – Longhorn Scott tries to gaslight me into he actually was really good last year. And CJ people try to tell – no, CJ was actually really good. Like, okay.
By what metrics?
Just – there's more gaslighting going on in sports now than I've ever seen in any time in history, where people try to convince you of what you are seeing. I was told the Astros have a really good offense.
They did for like 3 weeks.
Really good?
3 weeks back early. They were great early.
Yeah, but that's 162.
Oh, I know baseball is a marathon, not a sprint.
Not a sprint, no.
But
the games in April don't matter. But
for 3 weeks, they had a pretty good offense. Remember, we were talking about their offensive coordinator and the change in batting and hitting coaches. I mean,
yeah, we like them okay. We like them okay.
Things have changed since. Things
have changed. Well, now that Strom's back, all of a sudden we're getting some good pitching outings. You seeing that? Oh, Strom comes back. What did Hayden Wisniewski do yesterday, John?
Hayden Wisniewski, one hitter?
Yeah. Oh, and Strom's back.
The Stromy's back. Yeah. The Stromy's back.
I'm the butcher of Bel Air.
What is it, a lollipop guild? He's in a lollipop guild singing that song?
It was, it's something I remember from being a little kid when it was Spanky, it was Little Rascals, and they just kept singing, I'm the barber of Seville. I think Spanky said it, and it's one of those things, five-year-old Lance, that locked in on my head for all of eternity. And that's what I'm saying, the butcher of Bel Air. Because you gave him that terrible name. I can't believe I
think it's
that.
A great name. It's stuck. So
it's just Bel Air just because it's here in Houston?
Of course. Well, that's why I did it. And butcher is a great word to describe someone whose proteges all lose their arms.
They get cut. Cut on. All right.
Proteges who lose their arms
is the number if you want to get in here tomorrow.
It's not a shark bite.
We are going to be at East River 9. I want you to come on by and join us and Niall at East River 9 tomorrow. Hey, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Do you see, oh my God, the U.S. Open tennis tournament, the influencers, you see what's going on there?
No, what are the influencers doing? You're going to put me in a bad mood. I hate influencers.
So there's a woman who's apparently they're getting inundated with these influencers. They were in a luxury suite and they were recording a video. And, you know, screaming during the match. So, and then another one has got a ring light and she's, you know, the ring light is facing the stage and she's doing something in front of the match. And the umpire had to stop it and say, can you turn that light off, please?
Can y'all stop being influencers, please?
Yeah,
thank you.
I mean, it's just... for whatever reason, U.S. Open tennis is getting, and there were a bunch of them singing at and making a video of themselves.
God, I hate influencers.
It's just so bad. This is how you're gonna. This is an industry now, right?
Oh yeah,
influencing
it's young people. This is how they strive to make money, make it a career.
It's
free
a
stuff.
Career.
Hold on a second. They get a lot of, see if this sounds familiar. They strive to get a lot of free stuff, go to the very best places, ride on private jets, and get paid for it.
And sell products to people. Similarities.
Who does that sound like?
I don't know.
Don't like influencers?
Yeah. Are you sure? Well, some people do hate themselves.
Self-hate?
They look inside and don't like what they see. So if John doesn't like an influence, it may make some an influencer. It may make some sense.
Influencer reckoning is what they're calling it.
Yeah. I mean, he sees himself in these people, doesn't like what he's getting. He doesn't like what's being reflected back to him.
I don't interrupt games to draw attention to myself.
Lamar Odom would disagree.
Okay. No, Lamar Odom needed a punch in the face.
Why did you make yourself part of the game?
Yeah, you made yourself part of the game that night.
No, Lamar Odom was making my wife part of his game.
Okay.
Ooh, I don't like the way that even sounds.
That's tough.
Part of his game. That man was with
Lamar
Kardashians.
Lamar Odom had to be put down.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. He almost was.
He did almost die. That did not because of you, but there was a time where people feared.
Well, I wasn't heartbroken about that news.
You're a bad person.
Yeah.
Don't blame him for being honest, Del.
He's still a bad person. You can be honest and still be a bad person.
Why does he care about Lamar Odom?
You can still be honest and be a bad person.
If Lamar Odom never took another breath, John wouldn't care.
That's not.
Sounds terrible, but.
What?
Is
what
it
else?
Accurate, though?
Well, if he's telling the truth, he's telling the truth. I'm not going to. I'm going to allow him to live in his own truth.
That's my reality, and that's all there is to it. I mean, not yours. That's all.
No, I don't think of Lamar Odom at all. Great Rhode Island player.
We got a I mean, whatever. So, Dell, you put this in here.
What
the CBS Sports ranked teams may not face much resistance in Week 1, but there's plenty to learn. So, three things: line of scrimmage success, proof of concept, and establish early momentum.
All right. What do all those mean?
Line of scrimmage success: Notre Dame, Miami, Texas A&M, Alabama, Houston, Missouri. Establish the line of scrimmage. Right. Win the line of scrimmage.
There's some teams.
Show against a lesser opponent that you can be a bully.
Yeah, teams are replacing some of their stars from last year. Miami notably lost two first-rounders at the edge rusher position, replacing some offensive linemen. So that is the crystal ball calling card dominating the trenches. So he's got some guys to replace. Same goes for, I believe, Notre Dame as well. Well, their issue is because they lost the first two games last season to good competition. You want to see that roster and that line dominate a Wisconsin team that traditionally you would think of Wisconsin as being physical. Not so much now because they don't have the type of talent they used to have.
Close to home here, A&M loses those defensive ends.
And they lost a couple linemen, right? Bassonis and the tackle are gone, I think. They both were at least day two picks, I think. So they lost a couple guys, too, from what was a talented unit that they need to figure out.
They're saying, let's take a look at that Texas A&M defensive line and see, are they for real or is it too much to lose what they lost? And that's legit. That's legit, especially against Missouri State. They need to dominate, right?
Yeah, but for them, as I said, that's a both sides of the line of scrimmage thing for them because their offensive line lost a couple big timers too. So that's a top 10 team, and Miami certainly is as well. But they don't get a real test. But you just want to see if you think those two are real contenders. That it's a factory. You're just replacing guys. You're not just worse because you lost some guys. That's the sign of a real established contender. So,
well, your team lost more than anybody.
I said that they lost the two. They lost the two first round edge rushers. They did replace them with Damon Wilson, who was at Georgia and Missouri, so he could be the next first round edge rusher. But the offensive line is Mario Cristobal's calling card, and they have some young talent. They may start a true freshman at guard. He came in as a tackle, but they have some experienced players, so he may start at guard, which helps not to isolate him so much. But they got Stanford. Did you see the injury report? Now, Stanford did play a game. But Miami has two people, both like out for a significant amount of time, and no one else is on it. Stanford has like 30 guys on the injury report. Some of them are questionable. Some of them are probable. Some of them are just out. I don't know the significance of all the guys as far as whether they were going to contribute, but one game into the season, Stanford's got like 30 guys on their injury report.
And they played Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's not like they played Georgia.
No. They came into the season a little banged up, but I think they lost a starting offensive lineman who won't play tomorrow night because that game's tomorrow in Palo Alto. So it's just a nutty thing to look at and go, wow, Stanford, Hawaii really beat you up, huh?
Yeah. Proof of concept. You got Kyle Whittingham with Bryce Underwood. Is he real? Five-star quarterback, five zone, Brandon in Knoxville. His debut for Tennessee. Let's see how good he is. Bryce Underwood has a lot to prove this year. I don't think there's any question. And then establish early momentum with Ole Miss, LSU, Washington, SMU, Iowa. It's, you know, Lane Kiffin, his debut there. USC, they really need, listen, forget about the fans. They didn't defensively, I know that they rested a lot of guys, but San Jose State was moving it down, up and down the field in the second half.
Yeah, they weren't as dominant as no. I mean, they were up, people thought.
I think it got up to maybe 38 to whatever, and then kind of, I don't know, they let go of the rope, and San Jose State had a pretty good time midway through the third and into the fourth. So, of course, if you're USC, you're like, well, we had that game in hand, it doesn't really matter. But if you are a skeptic, you'll say, shouldn't your backups be able to hold the fort against San Jose State, not give up touchdown after touchdown? Look, what is Lincoln Riley's calling card, at least for people who don't think much of him? Not very physical, his teams, and they don't get stops. So what happened in that second half is just more of the same for people who don't think USC's got it in them. But this is a year where they're expected, at least the expectation is, to seriously contend for a playoff spot. It's about time.
I'm very interested in watching Josh Hoover. I know it's North Texas and they lost everything, but he needs to have a nice game, a nice start for Indiana.
As long as he can count, you know, wait, the RPO, what do you mean? The RPO. Just count. Yeah. Too many guys in the box, throw it out, throw the hitch.
What are you talking about, North Texas?
That's who they play.
Indiana.
Oh,
plays
who
North
they're
Texas.
Playing.
Yeah, as long as he
was coming.
As long as he can count North Texas defenders, he should be okay, because a lot of that stuff is based off of how many guys are sitting in the box, and if there's not enough, hand it off. And if they got guys, throw it to the outside. Your athletes on the outside, including Charlie Decker, who's back, should win. That offense is friendly to quarterbacks as long as you can process.
The emergence of Charlie Decker is like one of the most astounding and rocket ship emergences
came
ever.
There was an injury is the only reason
Becker,
he got on the
field. Excuse me. Is it Decker or Becker?
Charlie Becker.
Becker, yes.
Charlie.
I said
Decker. The only reason
Becker.
He got on the field last year was because injury.
Well, and he didn't come. He actually didn't even show up until Penn State.
And the Penn State game was a monster game with incredible catches. He had a couple of just, one of them was one of the catches of the year, followed by another catch of the year.
Up until the Penn State
Amari
game,
Cooper,
he did not have more than two catches in any game.
Yeah. Before that, I mean, it's so.
And now
for
he's
him
considered
to be
a first
considered
round
in the same breath as Cam Coleman is like, what? I hope he has. God bless. But man, oh man, oh man, the love that this guy's getting is maybe a, I don't know. We'll see. I saw these drafts where they've got him a top 10 pick.
He's a big receiver. How fast does he run at 6'4"? I know he's physical.
He's in the 4.5.
He'll catch the back shoulders. I saw plenty of that in the title game, unfortunately for me at least. But I don't know that he's top 10 talent-wise.
All right.
I don't know about that one.
We'll see. All right, 713-780-3776. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got any upset alerts this weekend? No, huh?
Not that I can see.
I can't see. There probably will be something. Somebody will struggle that shouldn't. Who's going to struggle the most this week? I'll be interested to see if I'm not a big Bryce Underwood guy.
So Georgia Tech is -6 at home against Colorado.
Oh, I like Georgia Tech there.
I do too, but I don't know what they're. FC what they have at quarterback.
It is the other Mendoza brother at quarterback for them. The
G Tech?
The younger brother.
He left Indiana.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, when he became aware that Josh Hoover was getting paid what he was getting paid.
Well, that's true.
Gotta go.
In terms of upsets, could Toledo beat Michigan State at Michigan State?
Deion talk about Haynes King?
Yeah, he's a winner.
Like, Haynes King was the greatest college quarterback ever.
Trust me, as a Miami fan, I'm glad Haynes King no longer patrols the ACC.
He was a weasel now. He could do some weaselly stuff.
Yeah, man. And I think he beat – yeah, they played in Colorado last year and did his Haynes King stuff to win that game. I think a lot of ACC fans are glad that this guy you don't – you can't even really understand. He's not a great thrower. He's not particularly fast. He's tough as hell. He'll break tackles. He can run that offense. You don't really – you would think, okay, this is a nice thing for three quarters, but we're better. And then Haynes King will find a way to win a game. So I think a lot of us – The ACC diehards like myself are like, get out of here. Thank you for your service. Get out.
That's a compliment. That's a huge compliment.
Enough. I don't want to see him anymore.
He did more for Georgia Tech than he ever did for the Aggies. That's the story of Aggie quarterbacks. They do more for other teams than they do for you. Kyler won a Heisman, right? Mm-hmm. You had Kyle Allen did more at U of H. You had Haynes King did more at Georgia Tech. I feel like there's another one I'm missing.
Well, there have been a lot of flameouts, whether they went to do something else someplace else, whatever. But a lot of guys who were highly – well, Connor Wegman's another one.
Yeah, Connor Wegman's actually playing pretty well right now.
Starting quarterback for a 10-win team, starting quarterback for a top 25 team this year. So that's another on the list.
Yeah. Good point, Dale. That's a great point, Dale.
I make them sometimes.
Really good point, Dale.
Thanks, thanks, buddy.
Rarely, but yeah.
This is why this show is a pit of vipers. John just can't go, you know, a good point. He goes, really?
Well, you made a good point. Whatever.
Yeah. See, he can't even just let it go.
It is a pit of vipers.
Can you reach your back, patting yourself
He
on
patted
the back?
Me on the back. I didn't go, I made a good point, until he said it.
Too. I hate that, too.
You want to foster disharmony is what you want to do.
Yes, that's exactly
you
what I want.
Want bickering.
Yeah,
because
no.
he's out of the fray. That's why. He's in Los Angeles, doesn't have to deal with the fallout, so he just wants to start stuff. You'll be back. Don't worry.
So, I don't know who this guy, Brooks Austin, B.A.
Oh, he's made a name for himself breaking down film, college football stuff. He's grown on social media and YouTube.
He's not a rabble-rouser, though?
Perhaps.
He says this, I don't believe Steve Sarkisian is a top 3 to 5 coach in the sport right now.
Where would he fall?
That's a pretty hot take, considering Sark's gone deep in the playoffs a few times.
Well, you have everyone's putting Cignetti at one.
And it's not just 1 year wonder. That's 2 years.
No, Kirby.
He shocked everyone a couple years ago. Kirby is in there by default.
Dan Lanning. He's had bad playoff ends, but.
Yeah. I think Dan Lanning is there. Deion. You've got Lanning. You've got
Deion.
Who else? Prime, yeah. Prime.
Where does Ryan Day fall?
You got to put Ryan Day up there. Yeah. You can always say he's got so much talent. Well, Sark's got a lot of talent, too. Kirby's had a lot of talent,
too. I'm putting Kyle Whittingham up there.
So I would say for football coaches, Whittingham would be a discussion in the top five because he's consistent. He's done it at Utah. Yeah, I think Whittingham is worth discussing. That's a really fascinating mixture with Michigan. He's immediately trying to downplay Michigan, Ohio State, which is a mistake. You don't do that. That's like downplaying Texas, Oklahoma.
So if you guys don't know what he said, like, is hating them going to make us play better and beat them?
They asked, do you hate them? Do you already hate them? He goes, no. He's being honest, but that's not what they want to hear.
No.
You know, Ohio State and Michigan, that team up north, and they don't even talk to each other. They don't even say the other team's
name. Can't wear blue in the state.
I got in trouble by Aaron. We were giving the Joe Moore Award to Michigan. We were there. I was on site 3 years ago, I guess it was, maybe 4 years ago, and I had I brought two pairs of shoes, and one of my shoes was just red and black, right? And I just wore that. I didn't even think anything about it. And Aaron said, dude, what are you doing? Do you have other shoes? I'm like, yeah, I actually do. He goes, You can't wear Ohio State type colors at Michigan. We're giving them a award. They're gonna be pissed. I said, they will? He goes, yeah, you can't wear those colors. Luckily, I had another pair of non-offensive shoe colors, and I had to wear that. But he's like, you can't. We talked about it. And the other guys, it was Mike Golick and Junior and Jeff Schwartz. They both said, oh, yeah. He goes, that's like wearing, Schwartz said, that's like wearing USC colors into an Oregon thing. Or, you know, he said, you couldn't wear those colors in there. I'm like, my God, it's just some shoes. But they take it super serious, like really, really serious. And for Kyle Whittingham to kind of diminish it, probably not real smart, but it won't really matter as long as he wins.
Yeah, who cares?
He's a good coach. He's been a good coach.
Yeah. I would say those are the top five. Sark is...
Lincoln used to be up there. Lincoln's out. Sark's in the top five. I don't know how, by every measurement, you got to put Sark in the top five. Kirby, Lanning, three.
Well, apparently he's not.
Cignetti, four.
Well, just name five.
No, I just named four right now. I'm not sure your guy. I don't think your guy's in there.
You're not putting Ryan Day in there ahead of Sark?
Okay. Day. Oh, I'm just going to throw five in there. Cignetti, Day, Sark, Lanning, and Kerb.
I'd take Whittingham over Sark.
But that's because you guys are haters.
No, because what he did at Utah over that span where he was never.
How about Sark going to the Final Four?
Cool. Texas, twice, that's kind of what you're supposed to do.
With Quinn Ewers, who was a seventh round pick.
It's fine. Well, maybe that's Sark's fault because Quinn Ewers was a top prospect.
Maybe Sark got more out of Quinn than was actually even possible.
Or not. Is your wife listening? What's this about? But I'll take Whittingham. I don't think Sark does at Utah what Whittingham does at Utah.
Yeah. Well, Sark's right outside the top five.
Whittingham has been fine.
He's won a Pac-12 title. Utah.
I would say most people, despite YouTube, most people would have Sark in the top five. A majority of people would have Sark there and wouldn't have
Whittingham. Longevity. What Sark's would be based off is not even last year. That was a disappointing year last year. The 2 years in a row with Quinn. But up until that point, Sark was a guy who could never lose less than four games. He's had two seasons where that didn't happen up until, now three because what happened last year. But he was a guy going into that first year when they made the semifinal. People are questioning, Sark, how come your teams always lose four-plus games a season when you have a full season? He's done a good job at Texas. But if I'm just going guys who do less with more, or more with less, excuse me.
Yeah, but that's not typically
Whittingham
how people look.
Whittingham has two Pac-12 titles at Utah.
Yeah, that's not typically how people look at it. And I agree with you. I'm just saying, in pretty much everyone's, they're going to look blue bloods and who are the best team. You might even have people saying, what's his name from Notre Dame? You might even have some people. Marcus Freeman. Well, you have people who immediately go against Freeman because you know why. The hairline.
You mean the additions to the hairline?
Yeah, the painted in hairline probably. Mm. But why not Marcus Freeman? Freeman's done more with less. Poor Notre Dame. We don't have any kind of advantages.
You know what everyone says? Poor Notre Dame. Uh-huh. That's a sentence that gets said all the time.
Uh-huh. I feel bad for Notre Dame. I hope they finally can.
Well, now they have Notre Dame.
Their way.
I'm glad.
I hope that they can make the playoff with that schedule. And
goes their way
to
for once.
Top 12. I hope they can get there.
So when you hear that, you go, of course, top 12, that's how it's supposed to be, top 12. But Notre Dame, even if they're how many teams do you think outside, like maybe one non-power four gets in this time, right?
That was stupid last year.
So the example is Notre Dame. Like last year, Notre Dame was neck and neck with Miami, and then Miami got in on the basis of beating them early in the year. Notre Dame would have been guaranteed a spot last year with this new rule, and Miami, despite beating them, wouldn't have made the field because the two non-power fours would have taken a couple spots. And even with Notre Dame, Miami ranked in the top 12, and Miami even ranked allegedly ahead of Notre Dame, Notre Dame goes because of this new caveat that they have. So if a scenario like that plays out again where they're ranked behind a team, it doesn't matter this time because they're in the top 12.
All right, 713-780-3776.